Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our triune God, Father, Spirit, Son. Amen. Reading through the creation narrative is an interesting thing, and if you're like me, I like to see patterns and things, so it gets exciting when you see like different patterns. And if you're reading through the creation narrative, you see these certain patterns that kind of jump out at you from the page. So if you're looking, you got day one, day two, day three, and so on and so forth. And they kind of always end the same way. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day, the second day, and so on and so forth. And what we also see jumping out of the page is God says the same thing every day at the end of the day. He looks out on his creation. He looks at that which he has created. And he says something so simple and yet so powerful. God looks and he says, "And it was good." God's creation was good. And then we turn the page and we see something different. We see a sharp contrast. Now looking in Genesis chapter 2, a sharp contrast as God is looking at his creation, Adam. And God looks at Adam, the first created man. You know, this is Adam who was created in the very image of God. The one thing that we would expect to be good in God's creation. And God looks at Adam and he says, "It's not good. It's not good that man should be alone." And so God created Eve. God created us for community. In the very beginning, Adam by himself was not complete. We were created for community, and only in community is God's creation of man good. As we look into the scriptures to see what it means to follow Jesus and truly live life as God intended, community is a core part of that. For those of you who might be joining us for the first time this summer, we're going through this sermon series that we're calling Summer with Jesus. And in this time, we're spending time in the Gospels, looking at the life and the ministry of Jesus to gain a deeper understanding for us of what it means to follow Jesus Christ, to be a follower and disciple of Jesus Christ. And one thing that we see in Jesus' life and ministry, we see that Jesus cared about, he cared that people lived in community. I think from the very beginning, God had this in mind, that we are people who live life together. Our reading this morning came from Mark chapter 2. No, it didn't. Mark chapter 1, excuse me. Mark chapter 1, and so we're also in this time, Summer with Jesus, where if you have that little bookmark, we're reading through the Gospels together. And so if you're reading through Mark with us, that would have been a reading from earlier in this week, so it might have been familiar to you. And in Mark chapter 1, we read as Jesus is teaching and he's healing. And at first glance, you might be thinking, okay, Pastor Aaron's here to talk about life together. He's here to talk about community. Why on earth would he choose a reading where it starts with Jesus alone in a solitary place praying? Pastor Aaron has no idea what he's doing. It's only partially true. As we look at the life and ministry of Jesus, I think we can glean some things from who Jesus is and what he's taught us. And one of these things is that it's okay for us to spend time alone. It's not a bad thing. It's okay. Jesus does this. It's okay. But I think we follow that up really quickly with, it's not okay to live life in isolation. Those are two different things. It's okay for us to spend some time alone, but it's not okay for us to live life in isolation. And so in this section of Mark, we read as Jesus spends this time alone in prayer. And as we talk about doing life together with other people, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, alone time is somehow now forbidden. You can never be alone ever again. That's not what we're saying. In fact, we see that Jesus on numerous occasions does spend time alone in solitary places, praying, spending time with his Father. And for many people, I would consider myself among them, spending some alone time by myself is a good thing. It's a healthy thing. It's good for your well-being. But there's a difference. There's a difference between having some introverted tendencies and getting some alone time that's going to recharge you. There's a difference between that and living in loneliness and isolation, separating yourself from all other people and community. We are created for community. In this same reading, as Jesus is healing all of these people, we see one of whom is afflicted by leprosy. And this leper comes up to Jesus desperate. Desperate that Jesus would place his healing hand upon him. And leprosy, it was one of those things that in Jesus' time where it was this debilitating condition, not just because of the physical symptoms, but because of the cultural repercussions. See, leprosy meant that you were unclean. Anyone with leprosy is considered unclean. They are outside of the walls of community. They are cut off. They're ostracized. They're shunned and isolated from the rest of civilization. But then, Jesus placed his hand on this man and changed his world. And it's as if Jesus opened up a set of doors and invited this man back in to the community. I want you to imagine for a moment being completely cut off from community. What would it be like to not be able to connect or connect with or talk with anyone? What would that be like? Now, some of you are probably thinking, hey, that sounds pretty nice. Catch up on my book this weekend. While it sometimes is good to get that time alone, isolation is different. True isolation is debilitating. True isolation is painful. And it's not the way that God has planned for you to live your life to the fullest. To illustrate how important this is, I'm going to play a quick video in a moment. This video is done by a group, it's called the Loneliness Project. And what they did is they conducted an experiment where they took this man and they confined him to his apartment for an entire week. An entire week without his cell phone, a smartphone, without any connection, any communication with the outside world. Just stuck alone in his apartment. And as I'm sure you can imagine, it was more difficult than he thought it would be. Take a look. are created for community. We are created for connection with one another. In this life together, we need to be with other people. And when that doesn't happen, there can be real pain. There can be real heartache. Now, why did I show that video? You know, what's the point? You know, I think part of that point is, of course, there are so many people around us that don't have community or connection. You know, there's so many of our elders around us that don't have an opportunity to even see another person. And I just think, what a beautiful picture of community it would be to have people here from St. Luke's going out and visiting people who don't have access to that community or connection. That would just be such a beautiful thing. But I think besides that, I think there is an even bigger point, an even bigger lesson as we watch that video. You see, we live in a world today, we have the world at our fingertips. You pull out your smartphone, and you can know anything in the world that you want to know. With the access to the internet, we can have unlimited information. The world is right here for the taking. You know, we have the opportunity, we have the power to talk to people around the world in real time, whenever we want. We have, through the power of social media, the ability to stay connected with multiple people all at the same time, whenever we want. But is that really true? How connected are you, really? So the world is smaller than it's ever been, but are we truly more connected? Sure, we see pictures and we see status updates of people's lives, but do we ever actually take the time to go see them in real life? Have a real conversation with them? What if the lives that we see on our screen, what if the lives that we see online are more than just real things, but rather just masks to cover over the hurt behind the screen? People seem more connected than they've ever been before. And yet, people are lonelier than they've ever been. And I think we all know that to be true. So I think the bigger lesson here is that we need each other. Each and every one of us. We need each other. Community is a necessity for all people. This isn't a lesson just for one small group of people. This is a lesson for all of us here. We all need community together. And I think this is even bigger than being a follower of Jesus. I think this is an important part of being a follower and disciple of Jesus. But I think even beyond that, this is a part of what it means to be a created being. God has created into the very fabric of our existence this need for community, this need for real things, real people, real conversations, real connection, real community. And that's what we're about. That's what the church is about. It's a gathering place of people from all sorts of varying backgrounds. You know, we don't gather around race or we don't gather around wealth or status, but we rather gather around the gospel of Jesus Christ. The amazing thing is that you can be here gathered together with the church with people you have absolutely nothing in common with, except for one thing: faith in Jesus Christ and the life-giving words that he offers to us. Faith in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins and the life eternal that are ours in his death and resurrection. That's our community. That's the identity of who we are. And within that community, we do need each other. That's our lesson, that we need each other. Because at some point, we've talked to ourselves that, like, we don't need anyone. We've told ourselves, you know what, I got this. I can figure this whole life thing out on my own. I don't need anyone's help. But that's where the sweetest parts of life happen, with other people. You know, we've somehow tricked ourselves into thinking that we need to do everything on our own. And whether you're single or whether you're part of a family, whether you're young or old, we've come to kneel down before this God of individuality. So here's my suggestion. Let's do life together. If you're older, you don't have family at home anymore, that's okay. Get out and get to know some of our other families, some of our other members, our other young families, and partner with them. Partner with them in life. Partner with them in faith. Pray for them. Encourage them. And help them. Help them as they parent their kids. It's a silly thing. You can show up to baseball games. You can show up to the theater show. You can come and help with homework. Whatever it looks like for you to partner with our families, help our families to grow and thrive in this life and in this faith, do it. If you're a member of a family, get to know some of the other families here, the other members of this church. Ask for help when you need it. It's okay. Partner together. We're in this together. You know, I think even families tend to trek on in this life like we're lone wolves. But we don't need to. There's a reason the saying, it takes a village to raise a kid. There's a reason that saying is so cliche. Because it's true. We are in this together. And if you're on your own, whether you're young or old, whether you're a single parent, whether you're a young adult, widow, widower, normal attendee, it doesn't matter. Invest in this community. Let this village, let this community be family. We're in this together. And we can't do everything on our own, but together we can support each other. And together we can be this community as God intended. It's not good for man to be alone. We were created for community, to be with one another. And I have a confession. It's not going to be easy. It never is when people are concerned. Just as in any family, and I'm sure you know this, there are going to be times where people are going to get hurt. But that's part of the deal. As we do life together, we walk together. We walk together in the joys of the good times. And we walk together and we mourn in the times of suffering and trial and sorrow. And in everything in between, we share in life's joys and in life's struggles. And at the heart of all of that, there is grace and there is forgiveness. See, we are created for community, but community, guess what, is a vulnerable place. My prayer is that you can be vulnerable enough to experience forgiveness. You can be vulnerable enough to be forgiven. You can be vulnerable enough to offer forgiveness. With the heart of Christ, offer forgiveness to each other, that we may grow in grace and peace as we do life together. Amen. Before we close out our